Carl Lamar.
Warning, this show is not for sensitive snowflakes. We enjoy the right to offend each other. It's part of this free speech thing that we fought so hard to get. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Every morning in SEAL training, my instructors, who at the time were all Vietnam veterans, would show up in my barracks room, and the first thing they'd do was inspect my bed. If you did it right, the corners would be square, the covers would be pulled tight, the pillow centered just under the headboard, and the extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the rack. It was a simple task, mundane at best, but every morning we were required to make our bed to perfection. It seemed a little ridiculous at the time, particularly in light of the fact that we were aspiring to be real warriors, tough, battle-hardened SEALs. But the wisdom of this simple act has been proven to me many times over. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made. That you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. So if you want to change the world, start off by making your bed.
I love that speech. I really do.
Yeah, that's good.
Now that was a graduation speech. We're hearing a lot of those from now till, you know, the end of the month or end of May and possibly June. And we're hearing graduation speeches. And I have to say that that is one of the best speeches.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that it was about the future and about moving ahead. And about what will happen coming up in the future. Anyway, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Glad that you are with us. I have got Uncle Milty here, and we are just there's something on my mind, and it's called BYU today. I like BYU. In fact, I have many friends that have gone to BYU. I even lived up there, and some of my college. I dropped out of college actually, and I continued to work and live up there, and absolutely loved it, and was on campus a lot and for different things. And I'll tell you a couple of things coming out of BYU that are troublesome in the way of, I think maybe we're losing our perspective on some things here. By the way, today's show, Dr. Pesta will join us. We have a host of things to talk about, as you could probably imagine, and he'll be weighing in on those in Dr. Pesta style. And also getting to that last hour, we're going to be talking about the climate change people aren't talking about this other issue that I want to talk about, too. And for some reason, they get stuck on climate and nothing else. But I do want to talk about that. I want to talk about what the DOD is going to be doing from now on that they took over from the FBI. I also want to talk about New York. I think we should do a segment called New York. What's your problem? Because New York is seriously, they've got issues. Man, do they have issues. The tragic event in Poway.
Yeah.
In San Diego. Yeah, we'll weigh in on that as well in the last hour and talk about kind of the state of things right now. So I want to talk about this for just a second. The BYU valedictorian who interned for Romney did a speech, and his speech was a coming out speech, and where he called himself the gay son. He was a proud gay son of God in his graduation speech. I'm not knocking that. He feels that he is a proud gay son of God. We're all children of God. That's great. That's great. In fact, okay, wonderful. The problem with this to me, and it wasn't about him being gay, actually. What problem I had, because he used the speech, Matt Easton used the speech to come out because he hadn't publicly come out yet. So here's the valedictorian at BYU graduation coming out in his speech, getting a huge roaring applause. Why is this part of a graduation speech? why take something like this, just like Hollywood takes the Oscars, just like all these other people infringe on an event for their own personal whatever it is. I don't understand that. And I'm having a tough time because people are going to think it's because he's gay. It's not. If he wants to be gay, great. If I got up and then said, I have a fetish for something, that's a personal thing. Am I then supposed to announce that in a graduation speech, which is supposed to be about graduation? What? I don't understand why personal items such as who you sleep with and who you choose to sleep with ends up in a graduation speech. I don't get it.
Apparently, he felt that he wanted to let people know that you can be a valedictorian even if you're homosexual.
Okay, I don't... Wow, I never thought that before.
Amazing.
I know.
That is,
like,
yeah.
It wasn't until this speech where I went, wow,
right.
Light bulb.
A vast majority of people probably believe that couldn't happen.
I'm so tired of the hijacking of things for personal validation, for personal. And the problem to me with this is the applause he was getting and the, oh my gosh, you're amazing and what courage. I'm sorry, it doesn't take courage to hijack an event for your own personal gratification in coming out or whatever the case may be. I don't care if you're announcing a fetish. I don't care if you're announcing, what if somebody was announcing they were into pedophilia? Would that get a rousing applause too? And I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying, my gosh, is there a time and place? The speech we just listened to by the Admiral was about future. It was about where you go from here as humanity. What does your humanity look like in the future? This was about, look at me.
Yep.
It's all about me.
Yep.
And I'm coming out and I'm going to use my one moment they gave me, my podium moment, to discuss my private sexual habits and my private sexual life.
I want the next valedictorian to be a young lady who stands up and says, I am the most promiscuous woman at BYU.
Please.
Whether you like it or not.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate. This
Hi there.
Is the chaplain.
Hi. How's it going? You want to weigh in on this?
Well, yeah. Putting two subjects together from last week, listening to you. You know, I want to get on a stage and announce that I have an addiction to European chocolate. And so, you know, if they stop, the politicians stop promising me health care and tuition, since I don't need either one of those, and gave me European chocolate, then they might have my vote. This is how stupid it's become.
It has. Yep. It has. So, and we're talking the constant hijacking. I mean, this has gotten to the point where I don't know if I'm going to an event anymore, if I'm actually going to hear about the event. It has to be somebody's political agenda, political view, or an I'm coming out party. Shouldn't this be reserved for something else?
Yes, well, I'm coming out on your show to, you know, let the world know that the more European chocolate I get, you know, the better socialist I will be.
Well, thank you. So, I know that was so brave and courageous of you, especially with your chocolate endeavor.
It took everything I had.
I wish you well. Thank you. You brave soul. Thank you so much. I don't know if anyone else feels like this. Mary, you can weigh in, too. Mary Burkett's with us. Hi, Mary. I'm not understanding. I have a problem with this. And am I the only one seeing it like this?
No.
Because I'm getting tired of it.
No, I am too. I agree with you.
To see that crowd like, oh, you're brave. I mean, I just thought, that's not brave. It's rude is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a lack of manners and it's rude. And it's,
yeah.
I think you're interjecting yourself into a speech like that. It's okay to tell a story about yourself if it pertains to the graduation of others.
Yeah.
Because that's
even your graduation.
Yeah.
Maybe you had that freshman year struggle that a lot of people have.
Yes.
And you had that special teacher that helped you out of the funk and got you through school.
Yes.
That's relevant
in a graduation speech.
Yep.
But to say, you know, I mean, why doesn't somebody else get up and say, and I slept with so-and-so, would you please stand? And so-and-so, would you please stand? I'd like to get everybody that, you know, I slept with to stand up. Are they doing that? Would they call that brave?
No.
No. It's only LGBT.
Yeah.
If you're having a coming out party, then you're some brave soul. And I completely disagree. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate.
Hi
how
there.
You doing? Hey,
good.
Milty.
Hi. Good. How are you?
This
you want to weigh
friend,
in?
This is your friend Daniel from the corner of Vine and Fig Tree is where I'm calling.
In California. Go right ahead.
And, what I'd like to do is come out, you hijack your show to come out as a male lesbian.
You're so
That's
brave.
It. Everyone yeah. knows it now.
You are brave. You are brave. You just hijacked the hour, but you're brave.
Okay.
Watch Thanks. Where you step.
Appreciate you.
Okay,
oh, my gosh. That's the problem I have. That's the problem I have is that we are looking at a situation where now it's okay to hijack. But it's only okay to hijack if you have a racism problem, if you're LGBT, or you have a political agenda that needs hearing. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's
sure
exactly the right word, though. It's hijacking
yep.
what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
What if a white kid got up there and hijacked and started talking about how bad he's felt for being called a racist for the last 4 years
yeah.
at the all-black college he got into?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. He won't get into the all-black college. That's yep. the real issue.
Yep. Right. And I'm tired of him calling it brave. No, that's not brave. It's rude.
It's rude.
Yep, it is. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Thank you. This is Patricia Kent.
Hi, Patricia.
And
how are you?
My big issue with this, mm-hmm. last night on the news, it indicated that before he gave this speech, it was totally approved by BYU.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
my question is, what's wrong with BYU?
Oh, you know what? Great comment. I am so glad you said that. Thank you. Thank you for nailing that. Thanks, Patricia. She's exactly right.
Yeah,
what's wrong
it
with
was
them?
Pre-approved, the whole
yep.
speech.
And I there's something really wrong with that. And when you're using an agenda, when you're saying that it's all about you, I can't imagine that somebody read that and said that would be okay. Because it has nothing to do with the other students and their future. It only had to do with himself.
Well, it might have had something to do with the other five gay kids.
Well, maybe. But, I mean, this is, it's just ridiculous. Plus, it's a religious school. Mm-hmm. And so it was yeah. sort of like, nah, I'm going to do this in a speech.
Right.
And you're just going to have to sit there and listen. That's
yeah.
what it felt like.
Well, it'd be like a pro-abortion person giving their valedictorian speech at Notre Dame.
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
right.
I love abortion. I've had three of
you
them.
You just nailed yeah. that. You're exactly yeah. right. And then everybody calling them brave.
For, yeah.
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 Yeah. Or calling her brave. I totally agree with that. We're gonna come right back. And there's one more issue at BYU that I had a problem with, and I want to tell you why. Big problem, actually. And I know. I'm just full of scrutiny today. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. We'll be talking with Mary Burkett, too.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around.
Hi there, welcome back, Kate Daly Show. You know, where we just say it. That show. I don't care. Who I offend. All right, and I welcome you, of course. Go to katedalyradio.com for the podcast and share those far and wide. Whenever you're in a chat room, try and put the name of the show with the link so people can find it. If you're ever commenting on a story or help us to grow the show, that'd be great. And also, just wanted to mention defendingutah.org. Get over to defendingutah.org. They're doing some great work. They're talking about, basically helping you to become a really effective person, a citizen, and a watchdog. Also, how to influence Utah politics, because it's a different world out there, folks. And I know you know it, but it is. And you have to know how to play these games that they keep coming up with. So by all means, get over there. That'd be fantastic. DefendingUtah.org has a newsletter you can subscribe to and get behind the scenes and extra things that are not on the site. Also, they have amazing articles that are coming out daily. So make sure that you get a dose of good journalism, that you're getting a dose of what's actually going on in Utah and not from the mainstream. DefendingUtah.org is a great advocacy organization, and they are just amazing in their ability to present videos and DVDs and all kinds of things that can help you. And I just think they cut to the chase. That's what I think, and I think they're really good at it. Ben comes on usually on Wednesdays from Defending Utah to talk about his latest stories and that they're working on, and they need your help, and they also have great things to offer too, for you, defendingutah.org. So I just wanted to mention this because, well, I'll take a caller, and then I want to mention the other thing at BYU that's going on before we talk to Mary. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to talk about this valedictorian and this university and his comments. So basically, coming out as a homosexual in a statement, basically the way he's framing it is an act of courage, no doubt. Now, God, through four prophets, said that homosexuality is a sin. He called it an abomination. So here we have a university that claims themselves to be a Christian university that knew in advance that he would be presenting homosexuality as a courageous act, of at least his act of declaring it, and yet they approved it. In this one respect, I think they're misrepresenting themselves.
Yeah, I do too. I actually agree with you on this. I really do.
Yeah.
So thanks. Yeah.
Serious stuff. Sin can do us a great deal of damage in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And so we've got to take it serious.
I do. I do agree with you. Thank you on that. Yeah, it really was an interesting statement. Also, the black only graduation. Think about that for a minute. The black only graduation at BYU, asking for segregation. Asking for it is basically what they're doing here. And they went back and they said, you know, for the 30 of us, we want our own graduation. And I think they had it, right, on the 27th, two days ago?
Yeah, they did, Saturday.
So if we are a nation that thinks it's racist, and there's a lot of kids out there that think we're a racist nation, and we're going to be talking about this with Dr. Duke, because I've had calls into the show and I've also had comments. What can my kid read that talks about history so that they don't think we're some racist nation, because we're really not. This is a narrative that was produced and created right now in America so that we'd beat each other's throats. But if we're in America and we're trying to not be a racist America, why in the world would you want to segregate yourself from everyone else and do your own thing as a group over here when we've been trying all these years to get rid of that? I don't understand why you'd want that. Now, one is forced by the government and one is, this is
by
wanted.
Choice.
This is by choice. And I recognize that. But why would you want that? If what you're trying to get is a nation that recognizes us all as equal, which they do, except for stuff like this.
Yeah.
Could we have a whites only graduation? Are you kidding? We would be thrown off the continent. We would be pitchforks coming to Utah. This, it's like congratulated and heralded and said how courageous this is to have a black-only graduation.
If it had been the other way around and it was a group of white students who said, we want the blacks to have their own graduation, it would have been racism at its finest.
I know. And here we are. It's as if the attention or I don't know what's being gained here, I guess. I don't know what's being gained in a world where we're seeking to not have this, but then to consistently bring it up all the time, consistently pursue it. We're pursuing racism, and these kids are pursuing it in the name of not being racist. I'm having a hard time understanding.
Well, I think I understand it this way. They want to keep racism alive. Because otherwise, how are they going to call us racist?
Well,
or how are they going to play the victim?
Right.
Yeah, if that label isn't still out there.
There's a lot of victimization in this.
Yeah.
And sad to say, because I would have liked it had there just been one graduation, just like everyone else would have.
Yeah.
And you know what? There was two articles written, one in 2016 and one just recently, by two black students at BYU. And they cited microaggressions and they cited discrimination. Although they would not actually give an experience of this, and they would not say what the experience, I mean, they wouldn't give anything. In fact, the articles themselves were so devoid of having anything in them remotely that even said how they feel this way or why, I was actually kind of shocked, wasn't I? We were reading through this, and it was, yes, there is discrimination. Yes, we are treated differently. And it was like, well, how are you? How are you treated differently? Mm-hmm. Not one explanation. Just, mm-hmm. we are treated differently. I'm sorry. And then isolation. We're in isolation. Well, if you're going to a school that you know is predominantly white and you're black, just like in the reverse, mm-hmm. if I went to the Negro College, I would actually be then subject to probably a little more isolation than if I went to a school where it was a majority of the other mm-hmm. of the other race. And so wouldn't that be expected? That's what's so ridiculous about this. I'm not understanding. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, that's news to me about the all-black graduation. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
What happened to, like, I don't know, institutions or schools having some type of, like, authority to say, no, we're going to do it this way? Or
what happened to that?
Kids are just, like, shouting to get their way, and then it makes BYU look spineless. And I would expect that out of, like, a left-leaning college out of California or something, but BYU. Yep. And then also, like, maybe down in the deep South, you mm-hmm. know, where some students wanted to have an all-black graduation,
right.
you know, and down there, you know, it's historically more heated, so they might cave into such requests.
Mm-hmm.
But out west in Utah, and
right.
a college that supposedly,
I get it,
you know, with the ideals, so that the homosexual approval speech, the all black graduation, mm-hmm. like, who's in control of that?
Well,
college?
And you're probably like, right about this, in the way that probably BYU did that and said that speech could be said by the LGBT guy, because they knew that maybe he'd go to the press and say, BYU banned me from giving this speech, and then get even more attention. I don't know, but it's on every outlet. Thank you for your call, though. I really appreciate it. It's on every single outlet.
In the 2016 today. Article, mm-hmm. a sociology professor at BYU said, there are students who are making a lot of progress and strides, but they're not the majority of white students.
What?
What he was saying was that a lot of white students are getting better about not being racist, but not the not the majority.
And they can't even cite a single issue or mm-hmm. discrimination moment in their lives, but they're just being discriminated against blankly. Hi, caller. Right. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate. You were asking about a book that our kids should read.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Up from Slavery by Booker T. Washington
is
a fantastic book. And along with what happened at BYU, and you were talking about mm-hmm. Racism, Booker T. Washington said, there's a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public.
Ooh,
and I think this goes both ways.
Yes, it does. Thank you for that. That was great. Thank you.
When she said that, the first person I thought of was Al Sharpton.
So true. They've staked careers on this. Mm-hmm. When they lose their career.
Yeah.
I have such a problem with this. As I was reading through the article that was cited, it was very interesting how it was so lacking in content. It was so, usually an article will have something to it. It'll mm-hmm. say, well, this happened to her, but it was, they look at our clothes and they look at us and they think we're from the inner city. Now, I'm just going to ask, would you go up to a black person at college and say, are you from the inner city? So I'm pretty sure this is in their minds, because I'm not quite sure or convinced that college students randomly would go up to somebody and go, you're from the inner city. And then so what? Yeah. So what? Who cares? You know? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
So did the black students know who was giving the valedictorian speech? And does that make them homophobic for wanting their separate graduation?
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't even thought of that. It's a good one. I hadn't even thought of that. You could be right.
A good talking point to.
Yeah. Seriously. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Why the all black graduation? I'm not quite sure, other than the fact that that helped them feel like I don't know. I honestly don't know what they gained from that. Do black students need to be told different things in speeches than white students? Or is it just the future of humanity moving forward?
Yeah, yeah.
After college, do they have a different, they had a different set of speakers, obviously. Mm-hmm. Is there something different they're being told? I'm not quite sure. Anyway, well, welcome, Mary. How
Hi.
Are you? Hi. How are
good
you?
To be here.
I know.
I'm
good.
Well.
Good to be here. We have a few minutes before the break, and then we're going to come back.
Okay.
And you may have an announcement.
I do.
What's your announcement, Mary?
Well, I am very happy to announce my candidacy for the Republican nomination to Utah's 2nd Congressional District.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah. You are running against
Congressman Stewart. Congressman Stewart.
Well, that's good.
I'm doing it because we can do better.
Yeah.
As a country, as a state, we have so many things going on, and I know we can do better, and I'm going to be looking at substantive change. And we have a lot of things that need our attention, you know, border security, abortion, land control, the threat of socialism, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what we do in those areas because we have a $22 trillion debt.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be 23 before we know it.
Right, right.
And we had tax cuts. Tax cuts are wonderful.
Right.
They're even better if you cut spending at the same time.
Yeah. And you won't do a task force and waste all of our time to investigate socialism when we have eons of history.
No, no, no.
Okay, that's good.
And because, and this is one of the questions I've had ever since I heard about that, about the caucus.
Yeah.
So what's the goal?
Right, right.
What's of substance is this caucus going to do?
Yeah.
I've got a couple of ideas.
Well,
they probably don't want to hear it.
Well,
but first of all, you say, where are our young people learning socialism?
Yep.
In the schools. This is what you do.
And then you're voting. He was voting socialism.
Yes,
He's been voting socialism since he got in. And then questioning that socialism is going to ruin us.
Right.
I'm going, but you're voting for it.
Right. Exactly.
You
know,
makes no
what
sense.
You do is you quit giving money to schools, federal money to schools.
Yep.
Or you say, you have to demonstrate, to get one dime of federal money, you have to demonstrate that you are teaching free enterprise, capitalism, represent a republic, as much as you are teaching socialism.
Yeah, or socialism not at all.
Well, that too. But if you really want to teach that,
we'll be right.
You have to teach the other side.
Yeah, we'll be right back. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Take your questions, too. We'll be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
What you want, baby, I got. What you need, you know I got it. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you just a little bit.
Hi there, welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Woo! So I have to play that because it's Mary's one of Mary's favorite artists. I've got Uncle Milty with me. Hello, Uncle Milty.
Hello.
And what was that?
Hello.
So anyway, I'm just laughing. We have Mary here. Mary just announced that she's running against Congressman Stewart for the 2nd congressional seat for Congress.
I
and I love that you're running. In fact, I have a question for Well, actually, a question from the audience. We'll take a question from the audience first. Hi, caller.
Sure.
Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to tell Mary how thrilled I am to hear that she is going to be running for Congress.
Yes.
We need someone who can who understands the Constitution and the importance of limited government, and she's it.
Thank you
Thank
for that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you. Great caller. Okay, Congressman Stewart said, he said this at last year's state convention. He said, I'm pushing FISA reform. I'm like a dog with a bone. And I don't know what part he actually played in FISA, if one at all.
Yeah.
But he said he was like a dog with a bone. There's lots of statements like that where he shoves it out there. It gets out in the press. And then if you go back to do the homework, nothing's been done.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you do? What are some of the things that you would actually do? Because I know you and I've known you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when you say, I'm going to do something, you're actually going to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to follow through.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are some of the things that you would like to do, Mary?
I'm going to be focusing on pocketbook issues.
Mm-hmm.
The budget most particularly, because as I said before, we can't make progress anywhere really with the kind of debt that we have. And I'm not saying let's just cut everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of clumsy, almost lazy.
Right.
But here's a starting point. And I'm actually working on getting the legislation written now. So when I get there on my first day, I can present it to the applicable committee and say, here's, you know, $17 billion we can cut right now today. Let's get the feds out of the real estate business. This country has 77,000, and that's from the general GAO, right? 77,000 vacant buildings that they own.
77,000?
77,000 vacant buildings all over the country.
For what?
And it takes over $17 billion to maintain them every year.
And for what reason?
And for what reason?
They don't sell them.
They don't sell them.
They won't give them up.
So we need legislation that forces the executive branch. And the Trump administration has been trying to do this.
Yeah.
Right, right.
They've been trying. Yeah. And they can't seem to make any headway.
Well, they can't without Congress
exactly.
has to
Congress
step up.
Congress has to initiate. Yeah. It has to step up. But yeah. I'm going to have that legislation in my hand my first day.
That's awesome.
And I'm going to go. So that's where you start.
Yep.
You start with those
and
little
the border.
Things.
The border is a huge
and of course
issue.
The
now,
Congressman
Stewart didn't do one thing for the border. Not one when we had the power.
Right.
And all he talked about before the last election was how much power he was going to have, you know, and the election before it. And, oh, give us the power and we'll do whatever we say. And he never did a thing.
Nope.
What's your take on that? What did you want
to say? Well, I just want to say, though, in all fairness, he did say that for years he fought to reduce spending. And we made enormous progress, he said.
Where?
Do you remember when the debt
only
went up $1 trillion that year?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
was
I don't
enormous
remember.
Progress.
Yeah. A friend of mine in Salt Lake asked Chris that something similar to that question. And she actually said, you know, what's the strategy?
Right.
Meaning, what's your strategy to get us out of debt? And he just said, there isn't, I don't know what the strategy is. We don't have one yet.
Yeah.
They never have.
No. They're worried about post offices and investigating socialism as if it hasn't arrived. So.
Right. Yeah. So
a little behind
it's a
the
matter
times.
Of going in, you look at all of these things, and you can save over $17 billion.
Just in that one area?
Yeah. Just in that one time. And that's tiny.
Yeah.
That's tiny compared to everything else. And there's a lot of that.
Right.
There's a lot of that.
And
if you can't sell the building, give it to the local community. They'll find something, a use for it.
They're in the real estate business.
Yeah. They're okay. Well, no. Let's say they need, you know.
Right. I totally get your point. Because there is some way. I mean, they can sell it and a private company can come along and get it and do something with it.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating.
Right.
You know, we can't keep, and I know I harp on this and people get tired of hearing me say it. But if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. If you don't like what you're getting, quit doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And this border issue, he came out with a statement that blamed the Democrats again. And I said, where were you when
you
had the power?
Right. When you had the ability to make it happen, where were you?
Right.
He was probably traveling somewhere because he's on the Intel committee and he complains about how much time he spends away from home. Because he's on the Intel committee.
See, when I see people on those kinds of committees, then I think, who'd you sell out to? Because they'll only put people that go with the total neocon stance on those committees. And boy, they vet him. And he made those committees very quickly when he went into office. So those that are against that, those that are that stand up for liberty kind of against the grain, they aren't put on some of those committees for a reason. That's what we should be wanting.
Right.
I think most people listening to this show would probably be aware of this, but I think a lot of people out there don't realize that that is not some congratulatory, like, that all that says is I'll do what I'm told.
You know, I've been hearing talk about cutting the federal budget my entire lifetime.
Yep. Right.
It's never been done.
Nope.
It's been talked about and talked about and talked
about. Because it's a great thing, I mean, to talk about,
But there's so much waste, just waste alone. If you just target waste, don't you think that's...
Absolutely.
But how do you target waste? How do you do that?
Like what you did with the buildings.
Line on line. You look at every single line item.
And then say, why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this? That's gone.
Right.
Why are we doing this? That's gone.
Right.
Because we can't afford it. I mean, can you imagine, you know, you're a young couple just starting out, and you decide you're going to go buy a house, a $500,000 house.
Right.
Really can't afford it.
Right.
But we're going to do it. So they do it.
It's done every day.
Yeah. It happens all the time.
Yep.
They go hungry. They don't have furniture. They don't dare have children. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the situation we're in. Yeah, we're living in that nice house, but we're driving clunkers. You know, you have to stop and think and look at every single line item. It's what you would do every month. It's what I do every month. My husband and I sit down.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's what the normal average person does.
Yeah. And I don't know any business that could run the way the federal government does. They'd be bankrupt in a very short time.
I agree.
And this is the other problem with being so far in debt. There are people in this world who want to destroy us. There are countries that would love to dance on our grave. We are more vulnerable to them and to their goals because of our debt. It is a national security.
I mean, problem. If we could just alleviate ourselves from giving money to every country under the sun.
And that's the other thing. You know, there are some countries that, okay, we're going to help you out, but it has to be used for this, this, this.
Right.
And if you don't use it for that, we're not sending anymore. We have to hold people accountable. We stopped holding people accountable back in the 60s. Anyway, over the next year, I'm going to be traveling the 2nd District. A lot of people in the district know me because I've done it before.
Right.
What a great group of people I have met in the 2nd District. And these are salt of the earth, wonderful people. They're farmers, they're ranchers, they're business owners. They're doctors and lawyers. They're all, they're just incredible. And the great things that are being done in the various counties in the 2nd District have nothing to do with the federal government. The things they accomplish have to do with their local community.
Yeah.
We've got to get the feds out.
Yeah. And we need, I think we need somebody like Mary. We've got John Curtis, who is so liberal. Oh my gosh. Everything he's done so far has been extremely liberal. Say 99% of it in office. We have, Ben, who is designated liberal.
Yeah.
We are up against so much in the state of Utah.
Right.
And I think it's sad that people don't think of us as the conservative state anymore.
Right.
That we have turned so blue and we really need to get back to our roots.
Well, why would anybody think of us as a conservative state when all of our representatives vote liberal?
For sure.
No, it's the truth.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the truth.
For sure. And so we have a huge problem with that. On the border, what are your what's your stance on the border, Mary?
Well, we need the wall first. Mm-hmm. Let's finish that.
Right.
Get that done. We know it does make a difference. We know it does. Then we've got to sit down and figure out legal immigration.
Right.
We've got to say, okay, and the DACA people, there were DACA people who they were given 2 years to get in line to become a citizen.
Yeah.
Some of them did.
Mm-hmm.
They should go through the system and be given citizenship because they played by the rules.
Yeah.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
That's funny that DACA came up, but that wasn't why I called. A lot of those DACA people have been here 30 years and have done absolutely nothing to change their immigration status.
They're
just waiting for that golden ticket.
You're right.
Yep.
You're right.
I like the penny plan for the budget. I'm sure you've heard of that. Would you save a penny? Cut a penny out of everybody's budget. Penny for every dollar.
Right.
You have a balanced budget in just, 5-6 years.
Okay.
But remember, Orrin Hatch was in there for 40 years, and I'm going to pass a balanced budget amendment. That's all we heard from him for 40 years.
Yep. And believed it.
He never got it. But it's great to have a balanced budget amendment, but if you don't cut spending, all you do is you just raise taxes to pay for the budget.
Yep. It's true.
That's the easy thing.
Yeah.
Raise taxes. Oh, yeah, we got a balanced budget. We'll raise taxes and we'll cover it.
And a lot of Congress people are busy passing post office names and all these things that are totally irrelevant and not this and not the border. There's some crucial issues going on, and I'm not quite sure, you know, what their excuse is. They seem to have a lot of them for not doing anything about any of these issues. But they're all full of talk, so.
Yeah, they are. They give a lot of promises, and the only one I've seen that's kept his promises even close,
it's pumped. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Really appreciate it. Thank you for the call.
You know, one of the things I hear really often, people have told me this over the years, Mary, your ideas are not reasonable or practical.
Wait. Who's saying that? The neocons or the liberals?
Yeah.
I want to see which crowd.
Okay with how Washington works. And the establishment.
Because no thinking person says that.
So I've been reading lately, and first of all, I don't believe in being reasonable and practical when you're in the kind of trouble we're in. I was a single mom with 6 kids, no money, no marketable skills. It was not reasonable to go to college. It wasn't practical to go to college, but I did.
Right.
3 years, less than 3 years,
a lot of kids.
I still had six kids and no money, but I had marketable skills in the form of a bachelor's degree, and I worked my way out of poverty.
Right.
Don't ever say to me that something is unreasonable or impractical.
Yeah.
I am living proof.
Yeah.
That,
but your ideas are very practical. That's what I'm saying. Don't even say they're not, because they are.
Yeah.
Only to a liberal or a neocon would they appear to not be practical, because there's only one road for them to go down, and that is government help.
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah. And I love that you helped yourself.
I just find it so interesting when people say that to me. When we look back in our history, I'm rereading The Making of America.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times Washington, in particular, other founders as well, only had grit, determination, and optimism.
Mm.
Winston Churchill, there were times he only had grit, optimism, determination.
Yeah.
Those people changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, because I have grit and determination and optimism.
Right. Right.
We can change the world. Help me get elected. I'm going to need everybody's help because I'm going up against somebody who can tap into a lot of defense contractors to get campaign money.
And the I'm here and I it's so hard to learn this job. No, it's not. It's not hard.
No, it's not. It ain't brain surgery.
Yeah. And you know what? He has voted so consistently for the NSA spying, consistently for all of these things. How long are we going to let him in? I mean, give me a break. How much proof do you have to have?
And how long are we going to say we vote for him because he's such a nice man or he's a good man?
Or he was in the military.
Yeah. 14 years. Mm-hmm. I came from a military family.
Right. Who cares? I don't care about that anymore. Because you know what? It doesn't do anything in office.
Right.
Nope.
It really doesn't.
No, it
has
doesn't.
Nothing to do with them.
Except, I think that's where his blind side. He's so blindly loyal to the military and the intelligence committee.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the roots are.
Yep. Yeah. If they say they need it, they need it.
Yeah.
And they doesn't even question
no
about the Fourth Amendment.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's really a shame. But I come from a military family. I understand the price people pay.
Right.
To be in the military.
Yep,
I get
too.
It. And
me
I
too.
Want to support
with
the military. And I'm just saying, let's
I'm just
look
like,
at the
qualifications
budget.
Qualifications are not.
Yeah.
But let's look at the budget.
And, right, exactly. Because I'm a nice person, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think of myself as a good person. I sure try.
Right.
So here in Utah, let's just assume everybody's nice and everybody's good.
Yeah.
Because that's generally who
they
we
are.
Get.
Yep.
Because they are.
But not everybody should be in there. And so I think he has overstayed his welcome by several terms. We should have realized this the first one and said no more.
Yeah.
We got to be smarter as a district.
And I voted for him.
Yeah.
I voted for him.
I know.
And
I was
disappointed.
Whoops. And I was.
Again.
I was too. I've been so since after about 6 months. I went, oh my gosh, we're in for it.
Yep, for
and
sure.
And we just kept voting him in.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank
Mary
you.
Burkett is running for Congress. Put her in. Oh my gosh. Put her in already.
Yeah, a
jeez.
Choice. There you go.
This should have been done last one. So let's get her in and see what we can do. And be right back with Dr.
Thank you.
Duke Pesta.
Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Good luck, Mary.